Well, today I'm not going to talk about losing one's religion in any traditional sense or changing to another religion, as we Unitarians are known to do. But instead, I want to explore what can happen when we look deeply at how we are in the world. What happens when we really examine ourselves and see that things that used to hold us up no longer work? Things like fear or doubt or anger and shame can mold and bend us in ways and influence in how we are with ourselves and with others. Sometimes we hang on to behaviors that we think can help us cope, but perhaps just cause us more damage. I hope to look at what happens when we bring those things out into the light and we see those cracks into our true selves. I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I've said too much. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion. In October, I was invited to a new minister's seminar held at our UU headquarters in Boston. It was a gathering of all the new people who had been ordained into ministry in the last year. And during the seminar, the leaders were having us do some reflection on things that get in the way of our ministry. We've been doing some deep reflection, and then we were asked, "So what's your good news about your faith? What is it that you want everyone to know?" And I didn't even have to stop to think about that. I knew exactly what my good news was, as it's something I share almost every day with my hospice patients. Right away, I shared with my small group about how I see each one of us as facets of the divine, that I believe we're called to shine just as we are, to reveal that facet of the divine to the rest of the world. And then I stopped, because it suddenly hit me. In that moment, I realized that I did not believe my own good news for myself. Perhaps like many of you, I've struggled with feelings that I am never enough, that I fall short, that I could be better. I sat there dumbfounded. It was kind of like that Oprah aha moment. It kind of threw me for a couple of weeks. And then the more I thought about it, the more I realized that perhaps that was why I felt so strongly about telling this good news to others, because I wanted so desperately to believe it myself. Consider this. Consider this, the slip that brought me to my knees. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion. A few months ago, my daughter Claire came running up to me with her laptop, and she said, "Mom, you have to watch this." It was a TED Talk. TED Talks are a global set of foreign forums owned by the Sapling Foundation that has experts in different fields talk and share ideas that they believe are worth sharing. This TED Talk was about vulnerability, and it was done by Dr. Brené Brown. She's been studying vulnerability and shame for over a decade, and her talk was honest and funny and really transformative for me. I hope if some of you had a chance to look at it, we had a link to it on our website. In revealing her own fears and struggles about vulnerability, I felt like she was talking about me. And if 4 million views are any indication, I think a lot of other people felt she was talking about them as well. She spoke honestly and openly about how shame and vulnerability affect how we interact with ourselves and others. She believes that shame and vulnerability influence how we choose to engage and disengage in our lives. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, losing my connection. For me, human connection is what gives us purpose and meaning in our lives. I would argue that connection is love. For me, love is holy, and how we experience the divine in our lives. The Bible's claim that God is love rings true for me. But often shame digs deep down into our being, and it creates cracks and a disconnect between ourselves and others. Shame builds barriers that makes reconnection difficult, and sometimes it feels even dangerous for us to try and reconnect with one another. We become too afraid to let people see our inner selves. Our stories and our experiences and our culture feed us messages that whisper to us that we're not smart enough, we're not good enough, we're not worthy enough. Brené Brown wondered what this was about, and she began to study shame. Through countless interviews and research, she defines shame as a sense of feeling unworthy of love and belonging. Shame is the thing that keeps us from trying something new, the gremlin at the door that says, "No, you can't. You're not good enough. I know your story. I know how you grew up. Who do you think you are?" That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, choosing my confession. Have you heard that, gremlin? I know I have. And yet the reality is, if we can quiet that voice, it's just us alone in the corner. The only real critic in the room is ourselves. What holds shame firmly in place in our lives is our fear of being vulnerable, of opening ourselves up to one another and letting ourselves be truly seen. How many of you think being vulnerable is a negative thing? How many of you work hard to keep that side of yourself repressed? I think we all know that feeling in the pit of our stomach that makes us feel queasy and out of control and out of balance. We're not sure what to do or say. It feels profoundly dangerous to be vulnerable in our work or at school or in relationships. Usually means weakness or unworthiness. That's me in the corner, trying to keep up with you, and I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I've said too much. We've all been there, and yet Brown then asks us to stop for a moment, to step back and change gears. What happens when we see someone step forward and take a spiritual risk and honestly expose themselves for who they really are? We've all seen that as well. And in those moments when someone truly risks showing us who they truly are, we all recognize what we have been shown. It hasn't been unworthiness, but absolute courage. After watching Brené Brown's TED Talk, I realized that we've had it all wrong. Being vulnerable is not weak at all, but pure courage and strength. In the movie In Her Shoes, a dysfunctional family struggles with making any real connections with one another. Cameron Diaz plays Maggie, the youngest daughter, who's irresponsible and unreliable. Her older sister, Rose, is played by Toni Collette, and she's always been the responsible one, protecting her sister, working hard to keep it all together. They have a major fight. Maggie runs away, and depression causes Rose to lose her job. Over the course of the movie, by chance, the girls discover a maternal grandmother who lives in Florida, played by Shirley MacLaine. As the girls and their grandmother try to get to know one another, a memory is lifted up about their mother. "I remember this wonderful day when we were young and Mom got us a puppy," Maggie recalls. "Mom woke us up and told us we didn't have to go to school that day. She'd been making fudge all night long and she was determined to try and sell it. She was dressed in a beautiful red velvet dress. We drove into the city to Macy's. And there was something about the fudge, and I don't remember what really happened. I just know she was sad, and then I remember we bought a puppy." Rose's face grows tight. She's clearly recalling something painful. She says, "That's not what happened, Maggie. Mom had been up all night convinced that she could be the next Mrs. Fields, but instead of making cookies, she was going to make fudge. She'd been up all night making fudge, and in the morning she loaded us into the station wagon to take us into the city, convinced that Macy's would buy her fudge. She pulled us in and out of the offices of buyers at the store. No one would see her. They had to have her escorted out of the store. We were scared and crying as the security guard chased us out. She tossed the fudge in the gutter. And then, just like Mom, she seemed to forget all about it. And before you knew it, she was marching into a pet store and she bought that puppy. When we got home, Dad was so angry. The school had been calling and he had no idea where we were. As they continued to talk, it's revealed that the mother struggled with mental illness. The father did all he could to hide it and to keep the mother in line. Responsible Rose would play records to cover their fighting and protect Maggie from any anger and the truth. The shame of the mother's mental illness had stopped everyone in the family from engaging and connecting with one another in any honest or real way. But when they opened up to one another about their shame and their feelings of vulnerability, things began to change. Everyone in the family starts to show their true inner selves, and the problems of the family are still there, but that barrier of shame has been dismantled, and they're allowed to be together and be vulnerable with their hurt. Vulnerability is a funny thing because it's of two forces. When we let our fear of being vulnerable stop us from connecting, shame and a sense of unworthiness are at its core. And it's shame and unworthiness that stop us from engaging. But then there's this beautiful side of vulnerability. When we choose to embrace and express our feelings of vulnerability, shame and unworthiness begin to melt. Courage takes its place, and creativity and love and belonging move into its core. We actually have a choice of how we choose to view it. Every whisper, every waking hour, I'm choosing my confession, trying to keep an eye on you like a hurt, lost, and blind fool. Oh no, I've said too much. Brené Brown says that one of the most terrifying emotions we can experience is joy. Joy can be foreboding. How many of us try not to get too excited about something because our stories and our experiences tell us that we're just going to be disappointed? Our fear of disappointment causes us to rein it in, not allowing us to imagine what could be. Afraid of disappointment, we try to protect ourselves from pain, and in doing so, we numb ourselves from joy. Is that any way to live? Is that any way to approach our lives? My daughter approaches life in a different way. She's been teaching me a lot about being vulnerable. She has what Brené Brown would call wholeheartedness. Wholehearted people have a strong sense of love and belonging for simply being who they are. These are folks who are not stopped by shame, but have the courage to be imperfect and embrace their imperfections as gifts and blessings. They have the courage to be who they are instead of whom they think they should be. Life has not always been easy, and I know my daughter has had some hard times. In fact, I often worry for her and her open heart. I try to get her to rein it in a little bit. I try to encourage her to fit in a little bit more, but she just looks at me and rolls her eyes. She has to be who she is, and she holds this at her core. Fitting in is when we form ourselves to fit others. Fitting in is not belonging. That took me a while to accept because I think I spent most of my life trying to fit in. Belonging is showing up and letting yourself be known as you really are. Belonging starts with self-acceptance, and I believe that's where most of us get stuck. We simply do not believe in our own self-worth. Instead, we let those gremlins define how we see ourselves. Brené Brown says we need to know that we are enough just as we are. And there it is, my good news. Belonging is showing up and letting yourself be known as you truly are. That's vulnerability, not only with others, but especially with ourselves. We are called to shine as facets of the divine that only we can be. I thought that I heard you sing. I thought I saw you try. That's me in the corner. Reverend Dottie Matthews told us in her very last sermon here at the Fellowship that ministers are said to keep preaching the same sermon over and over, just in new ways. And I think this is true because I've talked about how Buddhist Pema Chodron invites us to lean into life's tensions instead of away from them. I've preached about educator Parker Palmer and his ideas for how we can grow supple hearts. And I've examined how to embrace failure as a teacher. So here I am again, saying the same thing, but in a different way. This time it feels like Brené Brown's understanding of being vulnerable has given me clearer words to keep sharing my good news. It takes courage to be vulnerable, and it can feel very scary. But I've also learned something else about being vulnerable this year. Being vulnerable allows us to create connection to one another in ways that shame does not. It lets us know that we're not alone in our experiences, but that others have been there or are on the same path as we are. And here's the greatest thing that I've learned. That when we're vulnerable and we stop and we say, gee, I'm feeling a bit lost here, or I'm scared, almost every time that I'm brave enough to claim this, someone next to me says, me too. The universe rises up every time to embrace us and say, it's okay, you're not alone. A lot of us keep up a pretty good front, like Bea was saying, that we have it all together and that we're in control. And yet I've learned that perfectionism or that urge to be in control usually creates a barrier. It's not about striving for excellence, as most of us think it is. Instead, it creates a false belief that if we can make it perfect, we can avoid any pain, any blame, or any judgment. But here's the thing. That facade keeps us from truly being seen. It becomes something that we just hide behind. Maybe like John Green said in our reading, all of us are being cracked open. And that is when we see one another. We do not truly see one another face to face until I see into your cracks and you see into mine. Before that, we're just looking at ideas of one another. So let me tell you my good news again. Let your light shine through those cracks. Let your facet of the divine shine out of those cracks just as you are. You are enough. Embrace your cracks. Embrace them with wholeheartedness and believe that you are enough. I thought that I heard you laughing. I thought I heard you singing. I thought I saw you try. May it be so.